This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What'd you do all last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
All right. Speaking of freaking idiots, here we are. Andy Hart and Fred Kirsch. And it's PFW in Progress time here on a Wednesday. And Andy, it's insane out there. It's absolutely insane.
There's a moving city in town called the Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones are here. Kanye West is here. They're going to have a concert tonight at Gillette Stadium. The stage has been, they've been building the stage for like a week now.
Yeah. But big. Did you see it? Did you go out there?
No, I haven't been out there yet. It's like a city going on out there. There's people all over the place, and we're in the bowels of it. We're kind of like tucked in the middle of all that activity.
And we're visitors in our own workplace these
days. Yeah, exactly. We've been kicked out of everywhere.
Not allowed to go to the bathroom over there. Not allowed to walk through certain doors.
So, you know, you might, you know,
you'd think the frickin' president was here.
You might run into Mick Jagger with, you know, who, I don't know who, you know.
Some whoa?
Yeah. Anyway.
He's looking ahead to a very...
We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your emails and calls. Email is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Yeah. And
should I leave early?
Why?
I don't know. Am I going to get stuck?
We you know, we have to move our cars by 1 o'clock.
I already moved mine.
Ah, I didn't move mine yet.
You're a big wig. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
But is it going to get ridiculous? Should I go home and write?
I don't know. I think it'll be all right in our area. I don't think, you know, Kanye West.
No, I mean getting out of here. I don't want to sit in traffic getting out of here.
No, going out will be no problem.
You sure?
Yeah. Going out will be no problem. It's coming in that'll be the problem.
Is it sold out?
I think so. It's pretty close. You know, they didn't open up the whole stadium, but I think they have like 40,000 seats.
That's big.
Yeah. That's a big concert.
That's pretty impressive. They've had 5 concerts for the Stones within less than a year, right?
Yeah.
And they pretty much sold them all out.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean...
They still have a huge following.
Rolling Stones are the Rolling Stones, you know? But I did know...
Well said.
I did notice that there's a fleet of wheelchairs and ambulances just in case, you know, Mick's ticker goes in the middle of a concert.
Interesting pairing there, huh? Kanye West and the Rolling Stones.
I think they're trying to diversify the ticket sales so that, you know, I think that, like you said, it's been 5 concerts. Maybe we need to shake it up a little bit. So, anyway, I'll be going.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going.
Really?
I'm actually entertaining clients tonight. For some other thing. So,
you have clients?
I have to go. Anyway, we want to talk about the Patriots.
They'll be entertained.
We want to talk about the
you.
Patriots. were you on the show yesterday?
Yeah.
How come you're doing 2 days in a row?
I don't know. I do as I'm told. Because Paul had to leave yesterday to go to radio.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
Forked me.
First time I've had a chance to talk with the audience about the game. And, you know, my impressions is that, once again, Tom Brady... It's the bottom line. He quieted the storm with that last drive, and even though they didn't come up with any points, you know, having the ball for over 8 minutes, that basically ended the game, and, you know, he just does it time and time again. And I think that, to me, that's what I took away from this game. It's thank God for Tom Brady.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you stopped questioning Brady a long time ago. You know that he's going to do what he needs to do. The question is, are those around him capable of doing what they need to do? And that would be the receivers.
Yep.
Now, I'm not going to say Brady's perfect because he missed some throws, but all quarterbacks miss some throws. The question is, are you going to get enough? You know, you finally see Chad Jackson on the field.
Everyone
makes
sucks,
a couple catches.
Me.
showed the ability to get off the line. Doug Gabriel, on the other hand, I thought struggled, didn't have a catch, couldn't get off the line. Are these guys progressing enough to say 4 or 5 weeks down the line, okay, we have an okay passing offense?
Well, I think it's obviously it's too early to say, but I think we saw flashes from Jackson that he can catch balls in this league. So, I mean, guy had a touchdown catch in his first game
also
ever
dropped
as a pro.
One.
I mean, we're talking about first game, not even preseason. We're
but
talking,
he also dropped one, a big one. That could have been a big play.
I understand. And, you know, he's going to drop balls. Jerry Rice dropped balls. I've seen him drop balls. So I'm not so worried about that. I'm just worried about did he show up? And he showed up. He caught his first touchdown pass in his first ever action as a pro. He didn't even have a preseason game.
I was going to say, maybe more than that, because as Bill pointed out, he was wide open on the touchdown pass. It was some sort of coverage snafu. You saw the defensive back put his hands in the air, like, where's the safety who was supposed to be there?
But his first catch
was
more
very
impressive.
Yeah, that's the kind of catch that builds confidence with a quarterback that I can throw it to you, and you're going to make a play on the ball and get it. Because it wasn't a great throw. It was probably a little underthrown.
A little underthrown, but I think it was right where it needed to be based on the coverage. Kind of guy in front of him.
I think he puts it down.
A guy in back of him.
There was no guy behind Jackson. If he puts it another yard and a half down the field, it's an easy catch.
I thought I saw two guys on him.
No.
Are you going to have to watch it
again? It was underthrown, and he had to make a play.
Okay.
But
anyway,
regardless,
it was a good catch.
The most important thing, you believe Tom Brady could be injured.
I believe
based
that,
on some factors.
I mean, the reports that the Patriots are looking at Tom and Maddox.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could mean nothing. It could be just they're doing their due diligence.
That's what I'm going with. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. Just preparing in case down the road they need to sign somebody quickly. They say, you know what, we saw Maddox, we know what he has.
You know, according to Reese's Pieces, they tried out some safeties last week, or this week. So, I mean, it could be just due diligence, you know, who's out there just in case Brady got hurt or Matt Castle, you know, tweaked something in practice or whatever. But then we saw him after the game leaving a police cruiser. Now, that could have been also.
So you put two and two together and say he was on the way to the hospital, there's something wrong with him, and they're looking at quarterbacks.
I'm not ruling that out.
I'm ruling it out. I don't think he's hurt.
I hope so.
I don't think he's hurt.
Yeah. But then wasn't there a report also of some of the Bills defensive backs saying he didn't look right on tape?
Oh, I don't know.
I heard that, too.
I'd never heard that.
Yeah. So, you know, and then you got all these people saying how he hasn't had a good game yet and, you know, not.
I put that squarely on the shoulders of early on in the first game, some protection issues, and then questions at wide receiver. You can't just build automatic.
So we can build a circumstantial case, but it's just circumstantial.
Right.
We don't have any hard evidence.
It's not like he's in the hospital because he just did his press conference.
And he looked good after the game. I mean, he's, you know, when he did his post-game press conference.
In a little.
You know, it wasn't like he was limping to the podium or anything.
But if he had something wrong with his elbow, it's not necessarily going to show, and he could go get an MRI.
That's absolutely true.
You know, if he has an arm or shoulder problem, you wouldn't know until you tried to see him throw a ball.
Well, we'll know today at 4.
Maybe.
Well, if he's questionable and not probable, we know something happened.
My money goes he's probable right shoulder.
I would agree.
Regardless. I mean, his shoulder could be ready to fall off, for all I know, but he'll be probable right shoulder.
Yeah. They would never give that out. So, you know, we'll see. I'm like you. I'm hoping that the guy's 100% because that's what the Patriots need. You know,
there's no question.
It'd be one thing to be breaking in new receivers at this point, but to have to do it
with Matt Castle, right?
You know,
And I know the running game's been improved, but I don't think it's to the level where it can flat out carry this team to victory.
Right. Then the other thing is. Dylan might have got a little tweaked up in the game.
I think that's nothing.
You think that's nothing?
I think he's fine.
Okay.
He was in the locker room today, didn't really talk, but was in the locker room post-game and did talk and was fine, had nothing anywhere on a shoulder or anything. I think that was a true, you know, we hear it all the time from PR, wind knocked out of him.
Yeah.
I think that might
or
have been a true.
Or something like
something
that.
Minor.
Yeah.
Although I will say, at the game, it looked major because all the players at the end of the play were gesturing towards the sideline to bring the trainers out, and that's usually something you see where there's a bone showing
or
something.
Right, right.
So that's the only thing that led me to believe it. But beyond that, everything I've seen since, I think he's fine. I don't even know that he'll be on the injury report.
Okay. Do you guys talk about the Bill Belichick's been getting a lot of criticism in the New York papers about his handshake with Eric Mangini? I think it's nonsense. I really do.
I think it's nonsense that he didn't shake his hand. I agree with you.
He did shake his hand.
Yeah, he was walking away at the same time.
Well, I mean, he had a lot of things going on. I mean,
guy dedicated 10 years of his life to helping Bill Belichick win football games.
Please.
You can't even say good game. You barely said
he
it.
He did say good
game. Yeah, going away. Like this, good game.
I think people are making way, way, way too much of it. I think that, I think Bill Belichick.
That's basically what Bill said.
I think what Bill Belichick is thinking is, my God, we had a 24-point lead and we barely won this game. That's what he's thinking, and I got things to say to these guys in the locker room.
So he couldn't say, Eric, your team fought hard. You know, that was impressive. They came back. You put a scare in us.
I know what type of person Belichick is. And
exactly. That's where we're at. We're at the heart of the matter.
When he gets involved in a thought process, he's kind of oblivious to everything else that's going on. So he was just going through the motions with his mind on other things.
Going through the motions again. I think you're characterizing it perfectly.
We're at the heart of the matter.
I said that, Andy.
I think that...
You didn't say anything.
I think all you knee-jerk, touchy-feely guys out there are really making way, way too much of this whole thing.
There's a lot of good stories written about it. Entertaining.
Oh,
Little Bill.
Absolutely, yeah. New York media. These are the same guys who were criticizing Eric Mangini, by the way, for, they're closing
That's
off our axis. they're just whiners.
He's smart.
They were defending
He's
Eric.
Really
I mean,
smart.
You know, what they were writing might as well be in, like, Us Magazine or something. I mean, that's the level.
So are you saying Eric's not a good coach? Because he found it after the game to say Bill's been a friend for a long time and he always will be.
Well, he was asked specifically about that.
Bill's been asked about Eric and never said one thing about it.
Has he?
But I'm not Bill Belichick.
I never remember anyone saying, is Eric your friend?
What about the fact that last week he was asked when or did you
see? He doesn't want to get into that crap. It's crap. Who cares? Who cares?
It's interesting.
Why
can't he say, Eric worked for me for a long time, was a very good coach, and I started to realize, he was going to go for me. I think
while Eric was here, I think all Bill Belichick did was praise the guy. I think part of the reason Eric Mangini got a job like this is because of the praise and references that Bill Belichick gave him.
He got the job because he worked for Bill Belichick. There's no doubt about that.
But also, there's a lot of people that work for Bill Belichick that will never be head coaches. Rob Ryan, for example, is never going to be a head coach. And I guarantee you, if somebody asked Bill Belichick privately, hey, would you refer him, he would say no. But
what
Mangini,
if somebody asked?
He said yes. I think what Bill Belichick said about Eric Mangini while he's here is all you need to know. Why does he have to keep on saying it when he's gone?
I don't know what the harm in it is. It's 20-second soundbite.
Bill Belichick knows if I go out and say anything, it's going to be analyzed, dissected, the same way
it is when he didn't say anything.
Exactly. So
it's
better to say nothing.
Why? Why isn't it just give people what they want to hear? I think people go away. I think people just, he praised him.
They're going to go away anyway, believe me. This story is not going to be a story.
Well, it'll
today.
Be a story the next time around. They'll say, shunned by Bill Belichick after his team fought hard, Eric Mangini goes to Gillette Stadium to try and act revenge.
Well, look, yeah, and I doubt it. I doubt it. And you think that's true? You think Eric Mangini gives two?
I think if you got him to the side, he would be a little disappointed in what Bill's
giving
him.
Oh, please.
I think that
he should be.
Beat the best.
Oh, my God. You think this is like Barney or something?
I think it's human beings. That's what I think it is.
He came.
Human beings in this. It's all robots now.
Absolutely. What we see isn't necessarily what's going on. Okay.
So you believe secretly they're having loving conversations all the time?
Not now, but I think that in a few years when Belichick has moved on or whatever.
I got to tell you, if I'm Eric Mangini and he tried to start up a relationship, I'd say,
What reason would Bill Belichick have to be upset at Eric Mangini for?
Well, according to you, because Eric Mangini let it be known that his email was shut off.
Maybe.
That's what you told me.
Maybe.
This whole thing is about that.
I said if he was upset.
That's a good reason.
I don't even think he's upset. I just think that right now he's got other things.
How about the fact that there's reports that he told him he shouldn't take the job, advised him against taking the job, and he took it anyway, and he's upset that Eric didn't listen to his advice?
Well, if he advised him not to take the job, it's not because I need you to stay here. It's because he didn't think that would be the best job for him. He was looking after Eric Mangini. And at the end of the day, it's Eric Mangini's decision. But I don't think – why would there be hard feelings on Bill Belichick for him taking that job?
I don't know. I just don't know why he wouldn't treat him with some degree of respect.
You mean the same respect he gave when he gave permission to interview for the defensive coordinator at the Raiders?
I mean, that's
why
fine.
Would he do that?
Why wouldn't he do that? That's what you do.
You don't have to give permission for a guy.
I know you don't have to, but
you know,
that's
but
what
did.
I'm expecting. I thought they had built a relationship over the years, and that's why I'm shocked that he couldn't just walk up to him, shake his hand, and say what you said. Wow, your team came back and put a scare in us. We'll see you in a couple months.
I'm telling you, you know, he'll walk down the hall here, and 10 people will pass him. He won't even look up because he's lost in thought. I'm telling you, that's how he is. He's eccentric.
Okay.
He's an
that's
odd,
one word for it.
He's an odd duck. He's not.
I think there's other words for it.
He's not your normal human being because.
Gary, can you throw something out there?
He's so involved in this stuff that he's so absorbed in it. You know, and some people
that
like
really
yourself, obviously,
some
can't understand that and can't give him a break for that. I give him a break for that.
You give him a break for everything. It's in Bill we trust until the day he leaves, and then you'll rip him for all these things he did over the 10 years.
When a person is so absorbed in something and is so good at something, often what comes with that is a certain amount of eccentricity. And I think we see it with this guy.
If it's a sign of weakness or in any way would make his team fail in the future or anything by shaking Eric Mangini's hand and saying, good game, Eric, and you know you put a scare in us, then Bill Belichick's not the football coach I think he is.
He hugged Bill Parcells in the middle of the field when they played.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe he didn't, you know, what they win that game, 12-0 or something like that?
Some low scoring, yeah.
But, you know, it was a defensively dominating performance by the Patriots. Even though the offense only scored 12 points, you kind of knew along the way, you know, Paul gave me the nod as soon as the first 3 points went up on the board. Okay? Maybe Belichick felt the same way, so he was more relaxed. I just think that this stuff that people make up, this soap opera stuff, is just ridiculous. Listen,
I love
do you
it,
agree with
all,
me?
I love it, first of all. And second of all, I don't think it's made up.
Okay.
For some reason, I believe there's some degree of animosity there.
Animosity.
On Belichick's end.
So then why on Belichick's end?
Yep.
But Eric Mangini, obviously, is oblivious to it because he's still saying how they're such good friends.
Because he wouldn't say the wrong thing. He's smart enough. He's a former PR guy himself.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, everything else he does is exactly like how Bill Belichick does it. Right? Except for that. Everything else he's been doing in New York is exactly how Bill Belichick does it,
right.
Except for that.
But he's putting his own stamp on it by being a good guy.
A good guy. Okay. Well, not according to New York media.
What? Who accused him of being a bad guy?
Oh, they're just saying he's...
They've accused him of trying to mimic Belichick.
Yeah, trying to be mini Bill and all that stuff and, you know...
It's funny. There's little Bill and now there's mini Bill.
Right. Gives out alphabetical order, depth charts, and closes off his assistant coaches. That's what it sounds like.
That stuff, I think, is stupid.
That's what it sounds like.
That
you know?
Stuff, I think, is stupid. This, I think, there's clearly some animosity there for some reason. And I don't know why. I'm not going to pretend I know why, but I think it's there.
Okay. Maybe it's not a personal thing, but a business issue where Belichick either thinks or knows that somebody in the Jets organization, either Mangini himself or Mike Tannenbaum, you know, did in fact...
purposely
disobey the rules of negotiation that were laid out, you know.
Could be.
You know, maybe he's upset about that.
But does Eric make those decisions?
Maybe he knows that Eric is the one that told the agent that we're the most we'll offer is a two. Maybe he knows that. I don't know.
And Mr. By the Book, Bill Belichick, a guy who reportedly sent a player to tell Branch to fire his agent.
Yeah, well, one thing I know Belichick doesn't do. Is once he
get
he,
caught cheating?
No, he sticks to his word. He's a man of his word.
Right up until the time he ran out on the Jets as the HC and the NYJ.
No, I mean, I think that he was sticking to his principles there and didn't violate anything that he had agreed to. You know, it was.
You mean internally his beliefs?
Well, his agreement with Bill Parcells was, "I'm going to take over this team when you leave."
Mm-hmm.
Bill Parcells wasn't leaving.
Right.
All right? That was, you know, that was ridiculous. And so he felt cornered. So the only thing he could do was get out of there. Exactly. You know?
Okay, we can move on. We know we are on total opposite ends of the spectrum on this issue.
Okay. All right. So email addresses, webradio@patriots.com. And we have a lot of emails, Andy.
People are excited.
A lot of people want to talk.
Oh, wait, we got one more thing, because I know you're big on the details here at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Did you notice the new look in the media workroom? There's now a stage that the podium and the basically the entire back section of the room where the podium is and the backdrop is now 8 inches higher.
Well, I wasn't there today. Monday, I saw they painted it blue.
And it's a blue wall back there. Maybe Gary could enlighten us as to what this is for and if
nice.
It improves something on a visual.
I know Stacy's been begging to improve that room for a while now.
To have so the blue wall is for just for looks or light or something?
I think it's better contrast, I think.
Yeah, I think it enhances the lighting, and plus they're all on demand now.
Okay. But I just wanted to bring that to our listeners.
What the on-demand did for this room. We got flat screens and real microphone holders and automatic cameras.
Yeah, we've got an entire flat screen we can now dedicate just to the Spanish channel throughout the show.
There you go. Cleavage Central.
No question.
All right.
And then in the locker
come from Mexico.
Yeah, they do. In the locker room, there were decent number of players. Teddy Bruschi drew a big crowd. I was at the other end when he spoke. But the usuals, Matt Light, Roosevelt Colvin, Richard Seymour, just sort of talking about the test this week and the running game they have to stop and, you know, all the storylines of the week, the history between the Patriots and the Broncos and everything else that'll go into the storyline here, Belichick-Shanahan, the chess match that, you know, we've seen in the past and some of the different issues of the week. Are you speechless? A big boob girl came on the Spanish channel and you're just speechless.
The woman was like acting like she was insane on that. But anybody say anything interesting? Any thoughts about the Broncos coming up? Or is it just your typical, we lost last year, we want to come back, that kind of thing?
Nothing overly interesting.
No.
I mean, I'm working on a feature, so I had some specific stuff, doing a feature for the next issue on the defensive line and offensive line. Young lines kind of look like they could be built to be the real strengths of the team. Lines of the times, I'm going with.
I agree.
I think
that's
also
the strength of this team.
Josh Miller.
Yes.
For a Pulse story I'm working on. And beyond, he's having a great start to the year. 7 kicks. He's leading the league in net average, doing a very good job. But he kind of wanted to downplay that, said it's early. But I talked to him about his relationship with Gostkowski. And you know, the role he plays as you know, a confidence builder, psychologist, whatever, working with him so closely, and asked him what he said after the first hiccup of his young career, getting that kick blocked last week. And he said, he turned to him and said, it was a good snap, it was a good hold, and it was a good kick. That's nothing on your end. That's penetration. There's nothing we can do about that. And he said the video backed it up. So, you know, that was sort of some question. Was it penetration? Was it a low kick? Does he need to get it higher?
Right.
And he's kind of taking the approach, it was a fine kick. They can always be higher. But with a young kicker, you just want him to kick the way he kicks. And that was a good kick for him, and it was the penetration that blew it up.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Because that, you know, I think that at this point is a little bit more fixable than...
Yeah,
you know,
and you also don't want to get the kicker worrying about a million different things. You want him to get in his footsteps, do it, hit the ball consistently every time.
Do the same thing every time.
If that's a half an inch lower than what Adam used to do or whatever, compensate for that in your blocking or move him back a half, whatever. But you want him to get in that mold of just hitting the same kick every single time.
As I said earlier, the Patriots injury report will come out around 4:15 on Patriots.com. Look for that.
Fred Kirsch expecting Brady out.
But also look for the Broncos injury report and a couple things. Rod Smith.
Yes.
Had a concussion. Do we know if he's going to be playing?
I do not know. I think we'll find out more later this afternoon. Now, we won't find out till... Is it 4 o'clock Eastern time or is it 4 o'clock stadium time for them?
I don't know.
It's interesting. That's another one of the aspects. These are two teams in the Patriots and Broncos who have been accused at times in history of manipulating the injury report and not necessarily being truthful.
Like Shanahan has been reprimanded, not only
as has Bill Belichick,
not only for the injury report itself, but during games for giving false information.
So that's another factor. If there is an issue with a guy like a Brady or a guy like a Dylan, key factors, how are they listed? How does that play out? A Rod Smith, how's he listed? How's it play out? A lot of storylines here. Quarterback controversy maybe brewing in Denver.
Well, I heard they were actually booing Jake Plummer.
Yeah. And they have the guy waiting in the wings. They have their first-round pick, Jay Cutler, and he's a guy that could come in and be a spark. You know, I don't know. I don't think you want to make the change now because I think Denver is a playoff team. I think you make a change now, there's a chance you're not a playoff team. And it'll help you maybe down the road, but you're kind of packing it in on this season.
Yeah.
Jake Plummer had a great year last year. You can't, I mean, the guy went 230 passes without an interception, 13-3 record. He had a slow start last year.
I think that this year, I think it's finally caught up to them in the running game. I don't think they've got a strong enough running game this year.
Been good so far, you know.
To support Jake Plummer.
They've been good so far.
Well, it's
they got like 300 yards rushing. Bell's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. The other Bell averaging 4.5 a carry.
Yeah.
They've been successful on the ground.
Well, I think that teams aren't really stacking up yet. But once we go through a few games, a few more games, and Jake Plummer continues this slide that he's on.
Broncos have rushed for 306 yards, averaging 5.0 per carry as a team.
Right. I think that they're going to be stacking up against that. It's not going to hold up, and Plummer's not going to be able to carry him.
But they don't need him to carry him. They need him to play good football.
Yeah,
he hasn't done that yet.
I don't think – I have a feeling that this Broncos team will not make the playoffs. I think the Chargers will out of the West. I don't think they're going to even make the wild card. I see this as a down year for Denver.
So you make the change earlier rather than later.
Yeah.
If Cutler's your guy for the future, you make the change.
I don't know about that because I'm not sure I want to throw Cutler into the fire like that. But by mid-season, maybe. Maybe by mid-season, depending on how things are going, I might put him in by then.
Because the defense is playing pretty good football.
Defense is playing okay.
They haven't given up a touchdown.
No, defense is playing
well.
Red
zone, I think teams are 0-7 against them, maybe.
And that's going to keep them competitive. But I think their offense is going to be lacking this year.
Okay. It's interesting.
You know, points-wise.
I got to tell you, I'm not sold on the running game yet either. I know Tatum Bell, 172 yards in two games, 5.5 yard. That's good numbers.
No, it's great numbers.
But I'm not sold. The one fear I have from a Tatum Bell is the big play. I think this defensive front in New England is dominant right now. But if he catches a seam and goes 70 yards, that'll hurt you. I mean, there's obviously. Yeah. And I think he has the ability to do that.
Question is, you know, talking about that front, I was surprised. And I asked you guys to research, and I want an answer right now. Why they went into a 4-3 the whole game?
I think it was a matchup thing, game plan thing.
Well, what was that matchup? What was that matchup that
said? That's smart.
Come on,
he's
I want to
really
know.
Smart.
This is what you guys get paid for. Why did they decide in this game against the Jets that the matchup called for a 4-3? Tell me. Give me your guess.
Crickets.
Come on.
I think it's a matchup thing. I don't know what about the exact matchup it is, about the offensive line or whatever. I couldn't tell you.
I mean, is it that, you know, something about Pennington that they felt that getting four guys, you know, putting the pressure on, they could cover, you know, better with the seven? I don't know. They didn't have to worry about the running game as much, so let's...
I can't answer it. I'd like to offer you an answer.
Well, I'd like to know. You know,
we need to hire a coach as a consultant.
Okay.
Because I really don't have.
Also thought it was interesting that in the 4-3 originally, Mike Wright got the start over Jarvis Green.
Mm-hmm.
He was that fourth lineman. You know,
I think he has taken huge strides to be a playmaker.
Tom's here. Well, we're only.
And why are you here?
Tom's looking for Paul. Paul's probably doing some TV or radio show or something.
Oh, I haven't seen him since the...
You lost without your binky?
No, I just had to move my car because for some reason people care about a 90-year-old man singing Start Me Up.
And, easy. Can't swear on the air, Fred.
I got to move my car, too.
Oh, that's good. Go do it now while Tom's here.
And
Gary, can you do me a...
There was an accident in the parking lot.
Who?
Who? Well, you know how there's that one road you come in to where we...
Dan Clyde.
For some reason, people coming out of the side don't think they have to stop ever.
Right, right.
Well, finally, two cars collided doing that. And
anybody we know?
No, it was a
Dan Clyde
I've never seen before.
Probably from International Forest.
But this is I left my cell phone in my car, so I sent Kyle on the mission, and when he goes to move his car to grab my cell phone, so I imagine I'll have a black Motorola cell phone.
No, you'll get somebody else's
cell
phone. Yeah,
that's what I mean. It'll be someone else's cell phone on my desk.
Oh, I got to get my car moved.
Why don't we take a break? You go move your car.
Can you?
Kyle!
Well, I was going to say, can you call Carol or Kyle? My keys are on my desk. Maybe they could move my car. We have to do it by 1 o'clock or we get towed.
You've reached the desk of
I don't have my
thing
in my window. Is that all right?
Yeah, I think you're in the lot now.
Yeah,
right?
I'm in the
yeah,
lot.
So you'll be fine.
Forgot it.
Famous last words. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I get a ride home.
This is such a crazy day. I shouldn't even be doing this right now.
Do you want me to take over for you?
What?
You want me to take over?
No, that's all right. I'm here.
Where do you have to go? I'm ahead of schedule.
You want to take over?
I'm ahead of schedule.
Okay.
I got a lot of stuff done already.
Well, we got a lot of emails, Tom.
All right.
He can read.
Why don't you take over?
I thought you liked toasting.
All right, I'll take over.
All right. So let's take a break. Tom will take over. I got stuff to do. I apologize. But a lot of emails. We're going to get to your emails, and we'll be here till 3 o'clock.
I apologize.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on, baby, let's go.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
All right, we're back. PFW in progress. We got rid of that idiot Fred Kirsch, and it's me and Andy Hart back with you. You're going to have to stick with me. You're going to have to stick with me because I got these new microphones here, and I'm not happy with the hosting microphone.
Yeah, it's tough.
So what are you guys talking about? What's going on?
Well, Fred was defending Bill Belichick to the grave for everything he's ever done and ever will do. That's not nice. I was on the other side of that argument, thinking he was petty and childish in his encounter with Eric Mangini this
week. Looking good.
In my opinion, a handshake at midfield isn't the biggest thing in the world, but he could have just said, good job, shook his hand normally, like he would. You know, we're not looking for him to kiss.
All I'm looking for is handshake, maybe the other hand on the shoulder and say,
hey, good job.
You guys gave us a scare. It looks like they're playing for you.
Right. Something like that is fine. I mean, it's
two
not,
sentences. Fred claims Bill was too caught up in the Jets almost came back, and he had so many things he was thinking about and ready to say to his team that he couldn't take that time to say anything to Mangini.
It's not a big deal, and quite frankly, if Belichick hates Mangini, Mangini probably hates him too. So.
See, I don't think Mangini did, but if he didn't, I hope he hates him now.
Well,
but I'm not Bill Belichick.
Well, I think, and that was a good soundbite, Gary, because he's not Bill Belichick, so I don't think he can quite play the same role.
I'm on Burgundy.
Get away with it right now. Now, if he wins the next three in a row against Belichick, maybe he doesn't even walk to midfield, or so. You know what I'm saying? So,
God, I'd love to see that.
Andy Hart,
a one-fingered
Andy
salute.
Andy Hart, employee of the New England Patriots, ladies and gentlemen.
Mangini, a one-fingered salute back at him.
Should we get to the emails?
Sure.
Since I heard Fred was
we got a phone call.
Oh, we got a phone call. I'm sorry.
Craig,
I can't look
you.
At Gary because this microphone's on the side of me. All right, let's go. Who do we got?
Craig in South Carolina. Craig, what's happening?
Hey,
Craig,
guys,
what do you
what's
got?
Going on?
Hey,
what's going on?
You can actually hear us today because Gary's here working the board.
Yeah. You're full of crap.
I hate to say it, but Gary's the one irreplaceable person on this staff.
No question.
Gary's the man. There's no doubt about that.
Yep, he's the man.
Not
likes
all that
men.
In a bag of chips.
So go
Andy,
on. What do you
Andy,
got, Craig?
Well, I was going to tell Andy. I think the reason why, you know, Fred kind of feels about Belichick like most of us fans do, you know, have been, you know, fans of the Patriots for decades. You know, we were just a terrible team for years and years. And, you know, Belichick kind of liberated us from, you know, the dust, if you will. He and Bob Kraft, and, you know, we can't help but think very highly of him and be protective of him. So, you know, it's not a fault of Fred's that, you know, he feels like he has to protect Bill.
So you blindly applaud everything he does and follow everything he does when he starts stomping on kittens?
Are you speaking of Fred?
No, not at all.
Yes.
And I
can separate the fact that I think he's a great coach. He turned this franchise around, probably the best coach in the NFL today, with the fact that I don't agree with how he handled the Eric Mangini situation.
Well, I don't know the details of the transactions when he left and what was said by whom and when. I do know that any conversations that are going on relative to the handshake at midfield is like wasted oxygen. I mean, if you watched it, I mean, Mangini turned his head the same time he stuck his hand out. You know, I mean, he didn't even look Bill in the eye. I mean,
that's not really how I saw it.
Well, then.
Actually,
you know,
I have a newspaper over here that would dispute that with you as well.
Well, I TiVo'd the game.
The one who pulled away was Bill Belichick.
Well, yeah, he pulled away, but Mangini had turned his head at the same time. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was going to be an extended deal anyway. It's meaningless, though. It doesn't mean a thing. I mean, how he interacts with other coaches means absolutely nothing.
Just like it's meaningless when he doesn't call players and players don't want to play here. At some point, there's some human interaction in the league and in negotiations with players, coaches, people wanting to work for you. That's all I'm saying. And Craig is no longer with us.
Okay. No, I agree in that respect. I agree in that respect, you know, to dealing with players and whatnot, but, you know, a handshake at midfield, that's totally blown out of proportion. You know, my main thing is probably that most Patriots fans and Bills also just go out there and win the games.
I agree. Are you getting another call right now?
Yeah, somebody's trying to call through.
No, that's not good.
They hung up.
Okay,
anyway,
good.
Let me ask you something, guys. If the Patriots had gotten the number one draft pick this year, who would you have picked?
Reggie Bush.
Rohan Davies. Did you both say Reggie Bush?
Yes, so did Bill Belichick at the Combine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, Lawrence Maroney is an absolute stud, but Bush has things that just aren't human. You know what I mean? Like when you saw Barry Sanders run, you said,
the upside of Bush is phenomenal.
When you saw Barry Sanders run, you said, well, some people can block better, some people can catch the ball out of the backfield better, but nobody, and even Emmitt Smith said this, nobody can do what Barry Sanders can do. And that's like what Bush has. You know, Maroney's probably a better power back running between the tackles, but Bush does things that no one else on earth can do, so I would definitely go with him. But Maroney, I think,
as far as a pro goes, will be right behind him.
And notice the one guy we didn't talk about, Mario Williams.
Yeah. Well, I would have picked Bush, too. It was kind of surprising to me to find out.
Well, I always pick Bush.
It was kind of surprising to me to find out that Maroney is actually leading all NFL rookies in combined total yardage. He's got 275, and Reggie Bush has 250 right now.
Yeah, but I understand that, but it's just kind of a different situation. They're using Maroney primarily as just a running back, and Bush is kind of learning all different situations. They got him out wide. They got him in the, you know, he only had 5 rushing yards against the Saints, yet he against the Packers, but he still made an impact by catching like 7 passes. So I think with Deuce McAllister still there, they're just moving him all over the place and trying to define a role for him this year, where I think next year he's going to be the primary running back. And hey, listen, Maroney's off to a great start. There's no denying that. The guy's a machine. Yeah, you know, he's a machine.
You know, he's a good kick returner, too. I was kind of surprised that, you know, that they would put him in that position, you know. I mean, not that I don't.
Yeah, but Bush returns punts, so, I mean, it's the same thing, you know. Why would you? If you're going to put your most explosive players in position to make plays, and Belichick believes that Maroney's one of those players, and that's why he's back there. I mean, you could say, well, Reggie Bush, well, he's our future. Why is he returning punts? Because if he gets a crease, it's 7 points.
Plus, the total yards includes return yards, right? So inherently, the guy who's a kick returner is going to get more yards, because even a bad kick return gets you 19 or 20 yards.
Right.
You know what I mean? So inherently you're going to build up more yards per rep there.
Right.
I just think his presence coupled with Dylan, you know, once Brady gets on, you know, on target, between just the offense in general, right now we're averaging about 31.5 minutes in time of possession, a little bit over 50% on our third down conversions, 100% on fourth down. I just can't see our offense, you know, slipping at all. I think our offense is going to hit full stride in another 4 or 5 games once we kind of get some gelling going on.
It'll need to, because with the Colts and Bengals coming, you're not going to win no 10-7 ball games. You're going to have to score.
I personally could see it slipping. I'm not saying it will, but the running game has been tremendous. And if somebody shuts that down and puts the pressure more so on the passing game, it could take a step backwards.
It could happen this week with the Broncos.
I think so long as we continue to mix it up, it's going to be difficult to shut down one particular aspect of our game. And Andy, going back to your point earlier about Brady possibly being hurt, I watched that
Andy,
play.
Andy, you're full of crap.
I watched that play where Brady fumbled, and his arm, I mean, he was pretty much in full motion. He hadn't started going forward yet, but his body turned completely, his hips came through, and his arm stayed put. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he might have pulled something there.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that coming up in the next hour, so make sure you listen in. We'll be discussing more about that, as me and Andy kind of disagree on
this.
All right,
fellas.
Take it easy.
Thanks a lot for the call. I wanted to say about, you know, him talking about, because we're seeing Jacksonville on the television. They got Maurice Drew. Now, if anybody who's ever watched a UCLA game, this guy is a shade below Bush when it comes to a punt returner, and they don't have him returning punts.
They don't?
I mean, no. What are they doing? I don't understand. You got this. You can't score any points yourself. So on offense, you got this dangerous weapon as a kick returner, and they don't have him returning punts. It is. I couldn't believe when I saw that. Like,
who do they have back there? Wilford or what?
I think it might have been Wilford. Yeah, returning punts. I don't like anything Jacksonville does. I don't care that they're 2-0. Patriots
especially.
Players, I just don't like them.
We talked about it the other day. The type of team they are. If you can get a big return, that can be the difference between winning a game and losing a game for a team like that.
I was shocked. I seen this guy in college bounce off people like a pinball. He's
a
great returner.
If something happened, turn one over and not, you know, show great hands.
I don't know. I'm sure Reggie Bush will drop one, but I'm not going to pull him. It just doesn't make any sense. Ernest Wolford, where's he going?
Right.
You know what I mean? But, I'm going to pull a Belichick here. I'm going to say let's move on from the handshake. I mean,
there
are two guys that work. I mean, me and Andy work together. We're not swapping spit in the showers. You know, who cares? If they don't like each other, they don't.
Are we in the shower together?
It's from a movie. It's from a Clint Eastwood movie, that line.
What's the name of that? Heartbreak Ridge is the name of the movie.
Never even heard of it.
Oh, good movie. It's a, it's
You've
like
never
a,
seen... Oh, good movie.
It's like an army movie. You would like. You would really like it. It's a
Gunny Highway.
Yep. I'll put it in the 221st slot on my Netflix Kiwi.
Okay, well... Got another call. See, I host and people can't wait to call in. John, let's go. What do you got?
Hey, I was just wondering if you guys knew of any Patriots alumni or possible players that would might be interested in coaching in the future. And also, I was wondering if you could tell me if the Patriots have any plans this year wearing their retro uniforms, the original ones or the ones they had. It's a little bit darker than the current one.
The second question, no, I don't believe there's any plans to wear the throwbacks, that the red ones and the newer, quote-unquote, older uniforms. As far as the coaching, I know Mike Vrabel is a guy who has said time and time again, Troy Brown has mentioned it, maybe not at the high school level, even. I think Rose
Bruschi being a coach.
Of them, obviously. But if he's established a business empire by then, maybe he'll do it as charity. Most of them, just so you know, most of them seem to want to coach at the college or high school level because after witnessing what Bill Belichick and his staff put in and the time it takes to be a pro coach, aren't really willing to dedicate, you know, 9-10 months of their life, 24 hours a day to it.
Steve Spurrier found that out the hard way.
Right. So I think a lot of these guys are looking more in the collegiate or high school level. But, you know, we have right now Otis Smith is a member of this staff only a couple years after being a player here. So
O-T-I-S.
There's definitely guys, and it's interesting, you see the guys come through and either try college first or they do the internship in camp. And then some of them go on to remain in it, or some of them realize, whoa, there's quite a commitment there, and they kind of go in the other direction.
Okay. Well, I went on a website and looked up and just kind of how many coaches they've had come into the pros as a defensive coordinator, and it seems like the Patriots haven't had many alumni.
Smith, some. With Bill here is now the defensive line coach. I think there's a few. It's a bunch of former players. Mm-hmm. Brian Cox, Rick Lyle, Richie Anderson, I believe, is a coach there. I think they have four or five on staff.
I was going to say Richie Anderson. I know he's coaching for the Jets.
So, you know, yeah, you see it in different, and maybe it's, you know, because he's a young coach and given some guys some opportunities and didn't have those relationships in putting together his staff, so he had to call on some of the new-look former players. But, yeah.
No problem.
Okay, thanks, John.
And you're not the only one who wants to see get that question probably more often than most in SPFW, and it's simply not going to happen anytime soon. You know, they did it on Thanksgiving, a league-wide throwback weekend.
And it has something to do with the helmets, right?
And, well, first of all, this team needs all new helmets when they use a throw. Some teams can use the same helmets because of the
like
color
the
schemes and things.
Well, their uniforms actually never change.
Right. But this team, it needs... So there might actually be a better chance down the road, and I'm purely speculation here. I know there's been a little bit of talk of having, instead of having the silver alternate jersey, having some sort of a red alternate jersey. Wouldn't be the true throwback, but it would be some sort of a third red jersey that could be worn with their normal game helmet.
You mean so we could actually tell that they were wearing an alternate jersey?
Yes, not just white jerseys that look dirty on TV, the silver ones that aren't really that popular.
I remember when they played the Cowboys a couple years ago, I thought they were wearing their white jerseys to make the Cowboys wear their blue for the old, there's the old theory that the Cowboys lose in their blue jerseys, and then it took me about three quarters to realize, wait, those aren't white jerseys.
Right.
You can barely tell the difference.
Yeah, so, and I know they're locked in. When you do an alternate jersey, like the silver they have, you have to, between the league and Reebok, it's like a 3 or a 5 year commitment. You can't just every year change your alternate.
These jersey things, like the Chargers, 3 years from now, if they're going to wear those powder blue uniforms, they have it all.
Right, it's all mapped out. So down the road, and I'm talking maybe 5 years. With a couple games in the 2002 season.
Hey, you look.
Patriots.com. If you want. Or what's going on here?
Have we even taken one email? What
no,
time
I,
is
I
it?
I don't think so.
How far into the show are we?
We're almost an hour. Should I take a couple?
An hour in and we'll get
right,
some
we'll
emails.
Take a couple. Okay. Never mind.
I was like, wow, he's doing a really good job.
Wins games. They say you throw to score and run to win, and I think we have that formula. You and I both know it's only a matter of time until Dylan is hurt and Larry has to carry the whole load. Hello, Larry. I added that. But hopefully he can get hurt and healed quickly, like during weeks 5 through 8. We have the fish, have a bye, Bills and Vikings. Then for the cold months, he'll be back. Agree? So, just so I can clarify this, Justin.
Is he predicting an injury?
Justin is not only predicting an injury, he's letting us know when he wants it to happen.
So that'll be back in time for a late season run. Good, good.
He has a couple of questions here, and I will
talk to Larry, I'll call him, in the locker room and see if he can schedule that injury in to fit your little scenario.
Okay. If Matt Chatham was still on the team, would Tully be behind him or where he is now in the linebacker rotation?
That's a good question. I'm going to say behind him.
Okay.
Matt Chatham would be behind Tully is what
right,
I'm going to say.
Right, right.
Because I think Bill was very as open as he's ever been with a player like Matt Chatham, where he thought Matt was a very good special teamer, and that was pretty much going to be his role. And I think they have kind of liked the progression, even though it's been a little bit of a slow one, of Banta Kane over the 4 years.
Okay. I'm not fearing Denver like I usually do, but what do you see their main weakness is that we can exploit? Well, their main weakness is Jake Plummer.
Yes, as it always has been, and as I've always said, I took a lot of heat a couple years ago when I called him the most overrated player in football, and he went on to have a decent year. But
the Broncos had one of those seasons last year that comes around every now and again, where you look up, they're 13-3, and you say to yourself, how are they 13-3? They have no sacks. They have, well, I mean, they blitzed all the time and never sacked the quarterback.
I was being immature, sorry.
I'm just, oh.
Obviously, he didn't have a sack.
Yeah, they had no sacks hardly at all. And they, you know, their passing game wasn't what it used to be. And you look up and they're winning games these
right.
weird ways. And I think when you see something like that, the next year you can expect a drop off. That's why I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, because I thought last year was a little flukish. Even though they were a good football team, but just a lot of things went their way, like the 2001 Patriots. A lot of things went their way, and when things happen, you know, you kind of get on a roll. Now they have to depend, when you're not getting the breaks, you have to depend on Jake Plummer to make plays, and it's not happening. And I don't think it's going to happen Sunday. I think the Patriots are going to blow them out of this stadium. I think by halftime, people will be shotgunning beers again in the parking lot like they do before they get in here, and it'll be over. See you later. Put it in the books. What do you think?
Jackpot.
I don't know if I'm, would you say 38-10 I saw somewhere?
Yeah, I said 38-10 and asked PFW, and someone emailed in yelling at me.
Yeah, for jinxing it. I don't know if it's quite that big of a blowout, but I kind of agree with you. I think this front will shut down the Broncos' running game and then have their way with Plummer. And I think he's got no touchdowns, 4 interceptions right now. I think he could be at no touchdowns, three more picks for 7 on the season after this week. I think the front's become dominant. I think those are soft yards you're seeing from Denver. I know their numbers are pretty good wherever they are.
I'm with you. It's 153 yards a game, and I'm like, where?
I
have Tatum Bell on my fantasy team, and he ain't getting me any points, so where are they coming from?
As long as you stop Bell from having big plays,
right.
I think that's going to be the weakness of this team, it seems like, giving up big plays.
You're right.
Because I think they're going to be dominant up front. If you can take away the running game, I think Jake Plummer is like one bad game away from going mental on himself and just...
He's saying there's the quarterback of the
thing. If you talk about retirement, you're already retired. I feel like if you talk about a guy in yet or not,
right. And I don't want to defend Bledsoe because he's my team,
right.
You know.
That's ridiculous.
Perceptions.
Butler, maybe because they put a whoop. What do you do defensively with the secondary? Do you match up Hobbs with...
In theory, he is the better receiver, the more productive receiver, and the guy who hurts the Patriots the most. But in reality, Javon Walker is the most dangerous receiver.
Right.
So we know Samuel is a decent corner, but he struggles with faster guys down the field. If you put Samuel one-on-one with Javon Walker, then my prediction isn't looking so good.
Okay.
So I think basically you're going to play some zone defense. You're going to try to get pressure on Plummer. Keep him in the – see, the thing about Plummer is it's kind of like the Michael Vick theory. It's not so much you even have to sack him, but make him stay in the pocket
right. And
throw from there. Because last year in that first game, remember those bootlegs he had where Willie McGinnis was running around like a chicken with his head cut off? You know, the guy that we couldn't lose? I thought it was funny. You know, Dwayne Stark stunk it up, but, you know, how about McGinnis? Put some pressure on the guy. Do something. We got a couple more questions. We got, what does that mean? When you have new mail. Okay. I don't know how to get rid of this.
Quite ready for the big C.
All right. Well, I don't see a new mail up there. Our starting wideouts will be Jackson and Gabriel after the bye.
False.
False, okay.
Jackson and somebody else, because I haven't liked what I've seen from Doug Gabriel.
Okay. And he says, he talks about Culpepper and that he can only make two throws, the deep throw and the check down. I think this is a good point, because last year when I watched him against the Eagles on a Monday night game, he would look down, or I'm sorry, this was 2 years ago, excuse me, when Randy Moss was still there. He would look deep for Moss, and the Eagles were totally taking that away, and all he would do was check down, check down, check down. Then he looked at great, but they got whooped. And I think that's a good point. I think he looks deep, and if it's not there, he's not looking at other receivers. He kind of checks down to the tight end or the running back a lot, and he's not looking at the other open receivers. And maybe teams are seeing that, taking Chambers away, and then making him throw short.
I actually think that is a problem, and I think it's a fundamental problem, because I think he gets flat-footed. He drops back, sets up to throw deep.
Right.
If that's not there and he pulls the ball down, he's now flat-footed, and he just tries to dump it off. And when he tries to go to those 10, 15-yard intermediate routes, I feel like it's a fundamental thing where he doesn't stay on the balls of his feet ready to make the throws at all the different levels. It's like, oh, there's nothing deep, so I'm already flat-footed. My footwork's already thrown out. I can dump it off to the back, or try to flat-footed to get it 15 yards downfield and not be able to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we got Nick from San Diego.
Nick, I'm Ron Burgundy.
This starts with I agree with Tom, which I assume...
So Nick is an idiot.
New England's front office is just far and away better than most of the other teams. The Saints must be kicking themselves for trading Stallworth, who might not be better right now, but definitely has a more upside than Deion. Deion is definitely more polished right now, but Stallworth is pretty close to Deion and could still get a lot better. In Pioli, I trust. I will never challenge the genius of Bill or his knowledge of football, but I believe that his ego gets in the way sometimes.
Is this Nick from San Diego?
Yeah.
I like Nick.
Neil has turned into a pretty good player, but it seems to me that he commits to projects when he could just sign draft a player who already plays the position. Klecko, instead of finding a middle linebacker, fullback, defensive tackle that already knows the position or is the prototypical size, we spend a lot of time trying to find a spot for a good kid. I think that's a fair assessment.
Well, to be fair, he's missed both ways. I mean, he drafted Marquise Hill, who looks the part. He just can't play.
Right. I think this displayed again last Sunday when the last series of the game, who was freely trying to get to Pennington? Mike Wright. Were all the other D linemen injured? Why on earth in crunch time is Wright out there? Does Bill's genius get in the way sometimes?
I don't know if his genius gets in the way. I'm going to walk softly here. I got to tell you, I think in some ways he has an extreme confidence that he can coach guys up, that he can take a guy who's maybe not quite as talented and put him in position to succeed. I really do. Now, whether that gets in the way, I don't know, because there's cases. I think Mike Wright deserves to be on the field, personally. I think Mike Wright has elevated himself to where he's pretty close to equal to Jarvis Green, and he's, you know, your first lineman in off the bench, or if you go a four-man front, he's deserved a chance to get out there. So I don't necessarily, and he's not undersized. He's not, if anything, Mike Wright's kind of a freak. If you look at his build, he's muscular, he's fast, he can run on kickoff teams, he's got, you know, the 300-pound size. He's not Dan Klecko.
Yeah, and instead of reading emails, which I cannot do, I'm going to give my opinion, which I'm a little bit better at. I'm a little confused by the email. Mike Wright, I don't know if people are aware, or is a big part of this team now. Mm-hmm. He's not the guy last year who was an undrafted free agent rookie who's kind of roaming around and playing. He's there.
He's in the mix.
Yeah, he's one of the guys. So when he was there late in the game, that's because when they go four linemen, he plays. And I would expect to see a lot more of him as the year goes on. He's earned his way into that lineup, into that rotation.
Yeah. So, I mean, all coaches, I mean, are we going to rip, what's his name, in Atlanta? He tried something with the kicker punter, Keenan. It didn't work. You scrap it and you try something new.
Or something old.
Well, or something old. But, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, he tried to gain a roster spot. It worked in the preseason. We were raving about him when we were down there. The guy was amazing. Now he can't kick anymore. Okay, so we took a shot. You know, we could have saved a roster spot. Same thing with Dan Klecko. You had him filling a variety of roles. Okay, maybe if he develops into a great player at any one of them, or maybe he holds down that role for 10 years by just being able to fill all of them. Well, he didn't, so he's gone. But you got to try some different things. It isn't always just about the square peg and the square hole and just punching it in. You know, there's some limitations. You have a certain roster to work with, and you do your best.
Right.
Why am I defending him so vehemently?
All right, we'll read one more, then we'll take a break. It's webradio at patriots.com. I just saw that David Pollack play for the first time.
What happened?
Goodness.
I've never seen it.
Oh, geez, that was tough. I mean, you hear a broken neck, and you think how bad that was. He hit the guy right with his helmet, and he saw his head lean back. All right. Out of all the Patriots we've lost, McGinnis, Givens, Venetian. Oh, this is Taylor from California.
Hey, Taylor.
Out of all the Patriots we've lost, McGinnis, Givens, Vinatieri, Branch, and Flutie, which one is the one you think is the biggest loss? I think Vinatieri, but now...
Did he include Flutie?
Yeah, I was waiting. I thought you would let me finish before you got in on that.
I love Doug.
I think Vinatieri.
He's an awesome guy, so...
But now that Branch has messed with Brady's groove, it makes me reconsider. However, Lawrence Maroney gives me hope. What are your thoughts? As far as Denver goes, I think we'll take them, but it might be rather close. Taylor from California.
That's an interesting question. For me, it comes down to two people. It's Givens or Vinatieri.
To me, what the game is all
not
about.
Branch.
It's about competing, going out on
oh,
the field.
I didn't know Branch was in the mix.
And finding a way to win. And
that was before Flutie.
Oh, Branch.
And that's been my approach.
Doug, shut up and go away.
The way I've approached this game.
Well, you know, with Brady's impending injury, which we'll discuss pretty soon, maybe it's Flutie.
Yeah, no. No. It's either Branch or Vinatieri. And I'm going to go with Branch. Just because, and I know, you know, when they get to the postseason, they played a lot of close games and they need the sure kicker. But without an offense, you might not get in the postseason. And I feel like right now, this offense is lacking talent, depth, a go-to guy at wide receiver. I think it's showing up in Tom Brady's performance. Performance has been so bad that some are questioning whether he's hurt. So therefore, I just think if you have your number one receiver, it changes this offense dramatically.
Okay, well, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more PFW in progress.
Rock and roll's most loved and enduring band, traveling the world on their biggest tour ever. And now they return to North America for an encore performance. Radio Shack presents The Rolling Stones. September 20th, on stage at Gillette Stadium. Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones. Also appearing, special guest, Kanye West.
here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's gonna be shot. Richard Seymour.
This autograph print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details. This is PFW in progress.
Buck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor. My growth. My pimple. I'm Uncle Wart. Just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me. Melanoma head. They'll call me that.
PFW in progress.
Don't give me any crap, Maisie.
I'm telling you, you said crap.
There's nothing wrong with crap.
Oh, really? I thought that was a swear.
No, you're thinking of sh**.
With Fred Kirsch.
Forget that we were perfectly happy. So thank them for getting treated like sh**t every day.
I'm telling on that one.
Paul Perillo.
What did you have, a few drinks this morning? Huh? I think you did, didn't you?
In the field of local live home entertainment. Oh, my God!
You low-life, lying, four-flushing sack of shit.
And Andy. And Andy.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a ranch?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story. What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Andy Hart.
You have much more hair than you notice on my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Some guy named Tom.
Your girlfriend?
Friend? And yes, she is a girl.
Are you supposed to marry her or something?
The subject has come up, yes, but nothing serious.
Maybe if you got married, you'd stop being such an ass.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm just calling to say I miss you. No, I haven't been drinking. I've been thinking a lot about you. I think about those two little dimples on your buns. what do we call them? One was on the right was Lyndon, and the left was Johnson. No, that was your boobs we did. Oh, your boobs were Minnie and Mickey. I remember that because of Disney World. And Felix. Felix is what we called your...
PFW in progress.
Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
All right, we're back. Tom Casale and Andy Hart. And we got an email here I can't wait to read from Stan. By the time you get to this email, I will have had to go back to work. Maybe tomorrow you could discuss some actual football, like how effective the run blocking has been, how good the backs are, how good the front seven is, how great the fourth quarter drive was against the Jets. Maybe you could be a little positive. Maybe Andy won't be on. Well, first of all, Stan, Andy will be on. Second of all, Andy discussed the front seven and used the word dominant. I discussed Lawrence Maroney and used the word phenomenal. And I'm not Fred Kirsch. I'm not a company man. So quite frankly, I don't care if you listen to the show tomorrow or not. How do you like that?
So, by the way, if you're such a fan, did you listen yesterday when all Tom and I did was talk about how dominant the front seven was?
Yeah.
Talk about how great Lawrence Maroney was to the point where we had John Rook kind of pulling us back in saying we were a little too overboard.
I had him in the
praise.
Hall of Fame.
So...
I think you're just being
baby. Fans have to understand, we dissect every little inch of this football team. That's our job. They don't pay us to look at the Cleveland Browns' fourth tight end and tell you if he can play or not. We look at the entire football team, and I'd say 95-98% of the time we're positive.
Right.
But every now and then, we're going to have to bring up something that isn't positive. Let me tell you something. Bill said it today. If he can't imagine going to his team and saying, okay, we're where we want to be. We
right.
don't need to get any better. Let's go home. It's not going to happen. The team's not where it wants to be right now. It's the beginning of the year. We're just bringing up the points that they need to get better at. We're not saying the year's over. Most of us picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I don't understand how that's not positive.
Plus, how interesting and entertaining or whatever is, Patriots are good.
Yeah, it's like Eddie Murphy said.
Tom, don't you think Patriots are good?
It's like Eddie Murphy said, Eddie Murphy Raw. You know, like people think he just comes out and swears, and he's like, I managed to sneak in a few jokes in between the swears. You know, geez. All right.
Get off our back, Stan. Is that Stan the man, the dumpster can or whatever?
Now, we got a Phil from Stafford Springs. Just watched the replay on NFL Replay. My problem on Sunday was clock management. 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Just ran three times for a first down. Absolutely no reason to throw in a double coverage. The thing that bothered me the most is you got the New York crowd right back in the game after that. Should have tried to dominate the line, run the clock. The crowd would have been going to the exits. Come on, boys. Make some noise Sunday night. I'll be there. Phil.
That's the pick?
The interception, yeah.
Gabriel.
Going for the kill, I can't blame him.
Yeah, I can't either. And it's one of those where I think people are going to say, is that Josh McDaniels? But Charlie Weiss used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
He was a big fan of going for the kill shot, going for the big play when maybe another team didn't expect it. So I don't have a problem with that.
I mean,
hindsight being 20-20, yeah, I'd rather not throw a pick. But, you know, it ends up almost being a punt. It's not like, you know, it's a...
And if he's open, it's 31-0, and we're not talking
yeah.
about how the Jets almost came back. And, you know, I understand the point where you're saying they can run the football, but, you know, last year the Colts could run the football, and they didn't mind sticking the
right.
fork in you.
I'm always a big fan of going for the kill.
Now, Andy, people in New York say that was to rub it in on the Jets. Do you agree with that?
No, but I think it could be. I think there's at least a chance that Bill Belichick wanted to run the score up on Mangini. I mean, I don't know what the relationship is there as I started this show, but... there's at least a chance there's animosity there, at least on Bill's end, and maybe he wanted to. But I personally just think he wanted to put the game away.
Right, I agree.
I think they, and I can't fault them for that. I like that aggressive, go for the jugular, let's end this thing while we can. And you know what? That's the reason why, because all of a sudden a couple big plays, and your opponent is not down 24-0 anymore. They're in the ball game.
Right, right. Okay, we got an email from Mike from Florida, which will get me and Andy going here because this is something we disagree on. We've already talked about it earlier today. Adam Schefter, he said Schefter.
Yeah, sure.
It's Schefter. Adam Schefter reported that the Pats are looking at quarterbacks, which is scary enough. That Tommy Maddox is one of them is even worse. What is going on? Someone must be hurt to do this. Did you hear that the Buffalo DB said they saw something wrong with Brady on film before the game? Did you hear this? Did they elaborate more? Well, I'll go first. I did not hear the Bills' comments, but I'm a little worried because the team had 6 months to try out veteran quarterbacks, bring someone in, and all of a sudden they're bringing in Tommy Maddox and Todd Bowman. I'm not saying Brady's out for the year, but I'm saying possibly he was a little hurt to start the season, and that whack he took on the opening play from Tequil Spike, he just doesn't look right since that play to me. Andy, you disagree. The floor is yours.
I'm saying Tom Casale's being negative and reading into things.
I'm going to take
the positive approach and say Tom Brady has played in 92 straight games or something.
He's tough. He's
and
great.
I expect a 93rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Not saying he won't.
I think it's Scott Pioli doing his due diligence, getting a record and an updated record on all players they could possibly need because, in fact, they didn't sign a veteran in the offseason. There's a chance if something happens, you need to go out quickly and pick somebody up that can help your team. He's making sure he's ready to do that when the time comes.
Okay, valid points. Now, could something have happened where he had a minor injury that maybe is still minor but is now a little worse, and they're looking to
Very
add
possible.
Someone.
It's plausible.
Hell no.
All There's right. no question.
Tommy Maddox, Todd Bowman, who you got?
Neither.
Okay.
It wasn't an option, but I don't want either of them. I'd rather see Matt Cassel play than those two.
Well, I'm sure Matt Cassel probably would.
I know those guys can lose me games. I'm not sure if Matt Cassel's necessarily going to lose me games at this point. Plus, he had a... Karate Kid bandana on in the locker room. Did you see that? One of those white bandanas tied around his head with like a red Chinese writing on the front, like Karate Kid. I don't know why.
Well, I think that JT O'Sullivan would start, to be honest with you.
Huh?
I like the way he looks.
I laugh every time he walks in the locker room. His hair looks ridiculous. Somebody needs to tell him, get a haircut. I mean, he looks, if you want to be a leader on a team and breed confidence, he's the example of what not to do. Look at him. Is all he right. like that in his head? I mean, can fans see that? Is his headshot like that?
I don't
or?
Know what his headshot
Gary,
looks
look
like.
Up JT O'Sullivan on Patriots.com and see what his headshot looks like. Because I want to see if it's an accurate representation of what he looks like now, which is ridiculous.
All right, Andy does not like J.T. O'Sullivan.
I've never spoken with him.
The fact that he's never seen
I'm judging this book by its cover, and his cover is ridiculous.
Okay, well, let's go to Mensa from the Bronx. Hi, guys. How are all you doing today?
So ridiculous.
Guys, I have a funny feeling that once Tom Brady begins to get on the same page with the outside wideouts like Doug Gabriel and Chad Jackson, I think we'll be talking in the past tense about Deion Branch. First, these guys are bigger than Deion and can absorb a lot bigger hits in the middle and that are fast as well. I honestly think it is just a matter of time. Now, he says that, then he goes on to say, how do you think of the Patriots trying to work a deal with the Oakland Raiders for the services of Randy Moss?
Oh, we didn't need a receiver.
Oakland's in bad shape now, so they might probably be thinking of rebuilding for the future. So he thinks they're okay, but he's looking to get Randy Moss. I would say that I was watching ESPN. I saw Randy Moss say that Art Schell was running too tight a ship in Oakland. So if you think that he would fit in well with Bill Belichick, I would have to differ.
I don't want to play the role of Tom Casale and be overly reactionary to one game. But after one game, I think Chad Jackson showed me something. And Doug Gabriel showed me he can't get
off the
line.
Overly reactionary. This is a guy who had Chad Jackson in the Pro Bowl as a rookie, then said he was a bust, now has him back in the Pro Bowl.
No. He's not in the Pro Bowl as a rookie now. He lost, that ship has passed. He missed out on that by not practicing at all this preseason. But he looked like he belonged on the field to me, and he showed me that I think he can be a starting NFL receiver and make plays for this team this year. Doug Gabriel showed me he couldn't get off the line of scrimmage, couldn't get any separation, and was easily double-covered down the middle of the field.
Yeah, Jackson definitely showed a quicker burst off the line, beating his man. Gabriel seemed, I don't know, maybe it's an Oakland thing. He seemed uninterested to me when
maybe.
He was on the field.
See, I think he was interested. He just couldn't get off the line. He couldn't get open. And that's a problem. He's supposed to be fast, right?
He's supposed to be fast.
He's supposed to be fast. Plus, I still have my doubts about why he's here.
Yeah,
in terms
too.
Of why he's not there. Because they didn't want him, and they needed him.
You.
So I assume these guys, like Art Schell, know more than me.
Right.
JT O'Sullivan's picture is not next to his bio on the roster. However, feel free to go to Patriots.com and browse the rest of the website.
Thanks, Gary.
And read Kyle Posady's update and tell me what you think.
It'll be up around 7 o'clock tonight.
and it'll have a long the
game report
title. It'll have a title like, Patriots prepare for Broncos, and Belichick says that they might have a chance to win this one, unlike the last two last year. That's usually how his headline goes.
The Randy Moss thing, I think it's a nice thing for chat boards and, you know, for people to talk about on the radio. But that, to me, would be an off-season acquisition
right.
where they have to really sit down, look at the situation, weigh the pros and cons. I don't think this is something you do on the run.
Right. And for him to fit in, and I agree. I think it would be an off-season move. I think Bill would consider it. And Fred's now stumbling back in. Did you have a liquid lunch? What's going on over there?
And lo and behold, here comes Fred.
I think he would consider it. I've heard him say some things about Moss, kind of comparing him to Dylan after they brought Dylan here. You know, we know he doesn't just flat out ignore any possibility. They would do their research, talk to people they know Moss, who've coached him or coached with other guys, whatever. I certainly don't think it's anything on the horizon, although it would be fun for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Mike Gerken.
Hey, it's the pickle guy.
Has some over-unders for us.
It's the pickle man.
Maroney's longest run of the year, 45 yards.
Over.
Way over.
Over.
And Fred's back.
Over. Playing the role of Kyle.
By the way, has anyone given out kudos to Gary for getting these new quiet
yes.
three
covers? Yes. I said Gary's the only irreplaceable member of this staff.
And I said they'll be tremendous until they get worn out and ruined in a couple weeks like they usually
do. Well, after the big show comes.
Yeah, those fat pounds.
Yeah, right.
All right. Fred, you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Dylan's touchdowns, 10.5. I'm going to go under.
Under.
I'll say under.
What are you, Darth Vader?
I am your
Jackson.
Boss.
Chad Jackson. You done, Gary?
He gets so mad if you do something while he's trying to read.
Well, you sit there and do your little drop-ins, and we're the talent. Don't forget it. Look at that douchebag. Jackson's receptions, 42.
I'm gonna go over, but you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, slightly over.
Fred?
Over. I said over.
Well over?
No. Like more like 50.
Okay.
Brady's touchdowns, 25.
Over.
What does he have now, 3?
Yeah, 3-2 in touchdown interception, I believe.
Yeah.
3 times 16. I'll say over.
I'm going to go under because in the red zone, I think they run the ball for touchdowns all year long.
Yeah, that's when Heath Evans runs on the field with his arms flexed for that jumbo backfield or whatever they have.
Yeah, or Lawrence Maroney just gets 5 yards and stands in the end zone. Colvin sacks, 8.5.
Over. I'm already on record as saying 14.
Under.
Over.
I think he's going to have less than 8 sacks.
I think as a team they'll have a lot of sacks, but I don't think necessarily he will have over.
How many did he have last year?
6, 7.
He had 7. You don't think he's going to have a better year than last year?
I think along the line, if they start playing a 4-3 especially, he's going to have less sacks.
I think he's going to have double-digit sacks.
Okay,
no question. You want to bet?
I hope so.
I feel very confident about that one.
Dylan, they continue in a 4-3?
Yeah, I think no matter what, he's a playmaker. Remember, didn't you see him the other day when he strung that run out and then he does a little airplane thing where he runs around the field? I think he's back. I think he is excited to be playing the way
he's
playing.
I don't think getting less than 8 sacks is an indictment on his play. I think he'll have a fine year.
It's a guy who came here because he had 10.5 sacks back-to-back years. I don't know if you read his quote in the story I wrote about him where he said he doesn't care about tackles for losses or any of that crap. He's after sacks because a sack is a sack. He's looking for sacks.
Okay.
Okay, Dylan rushing yards, 1,000, under, Andy.
Under.
I'll say under.
Maroney rushing yards, 1,000, over.
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 Team interceptions, 11. You better hope it's over.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm not all that confident it's going to be over at this point.
I'm just saying you better hope it is.
They'll have one game where they have 3 or 4.
Because that's a pretty bad year if you only pick off
11.
I already
predicted that game to be passes. This week, 3 picks.
It could be.
All right, what do we got here?
Dead air.
Well, Tom.
All right, hang on.
Before he got a thing, he goes, what's this? Oh, you have new mail. What does that mean? Well, I don't see new mail. He's
Matt
stumbling around.
Berridge from Cambridge, England. Hey, guys. Having heard about the Patriots having visits from quarterbacks, Maddox and Bowman, and safeties, I was wondering why they have left it until week 3 to try and bring in players. What has Matt Castle done in practice to show he's not ready, or do they want a veteran to help Brady out after a slow start to the season? Also, any new safety will surely be no more than a special teams player, with Sanders and Hawkins far better candidates for playing time on defense.
Not if both of them are hurt.
Right. Although, I did see Sanders in the locker room, so I don't know that that's serious. But, yeah, I mean, I think that was – the way it was written is accurate. I think there's questions about the depth there with Hawkins out
and
Sanders out
for
that game.
And Sanders out for the season,
too. Right. Well, I think they – that's something happened a while ago, so they were prepared to move past that. But with Hawkins and Sanders injured, that cuts away at your depth immediately.
I mean, there's no real depth there right now.
And at the quarterbacks, according to you guys, it's because Brady may never play again that they're bringing in quarterbacks.
There you go again.
That's the reason behind that is, you know, Brady's done, despite, you know, walking out and doing his press conference and looking fine.
Well, no, I think they look to bring in players at any point during the season. I think it's a little peculiar that Brady struggled a couple of games, there's been questions about injuries, and now they're talking to Tommy Maddox. I'm just connecting dots. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, but I think you made a triangle, not a straight line.
Well, why haven't they brought in linebackers and defensive linemen, and why just safeties and quarterbacks?
I don't know. Maybe how do you know today wasn't
I don't
linebacker
know.
Day?
I don't know.
Or tomorrow will
I rely
be
on Mike
day.
Reese for that information.
Plus, I do believe that, you know, there's some depth at D-line. You don't need it at all.
Okay.
I mean, really, they have, like, Lakeven. They have guys on the bottom of the roster before you even really need to go out and fill bodies.
Okay.
So I just think it's one of those due diligence things. I really think it's going to get overblown. Of course, I could be wrong. When the injury report comes out, maybe, you know, God forbid there's a change, because this place will turn into, you know, total turmoil if it goes down to questionable for Brady.
If he sneezes.
You'll be jumping off the 300 level. Oh. Don't do it before you entertain your guests tonight. Fred's hosting clients. Can you believe that?
I'll make a prediction that if for some unknown reason, you know, and I don't expect it, but Brady didn't play this week, the Patriots would still win with Matt Castle under center.
All right. Well, and this leads us into the next email. Fred may be hosting clients, but according to Alex, he shouldn't be hosting this show. Don't listen to the Uber Homers. Uber Homers, is that how you say it? You're doing a fine job. Like you said, the team isn't perfect, and if you try to Fred Kirsch everything, a lot of people would probably stop listening if you did. Just be honest as you can, and most of us will keep listening. By the way, this team, Andy and Tom, has the best chemistry. Paul is too sensitive, and Fred, well, you know, is Fred.
So we are the A-team.
Who's that?
This is Alex in Somerville.
Yeah.
The A-team. What does that mean? You just go, yeah.
I'll be looking him up.
Well, now, on the flip side, we got to give Fred his props too. Congratulations to Fred on going 15-1 this week. It's outstanding, amazing. I was all depressed about the crocodile guy, but this made me feel much better. Out on the West Coast, we are all excited. We were going to light victory fires, but it's the dry season. We're going to make a Fred Kirsch Pick'em's drinking game.
There you go.
But history is kind of against ordering more than a couple rounds of beer. We were going to start a Fred fan club, but Tom is pretty big out here on the coast. But keep it up, Fred. Your stock is rising. Let's just hope that the sun can shine on the dog's ass 2 weeks in a row.
You got that right.
Regards, JJ, Ventura, California.
There you
That's
go.
A tremendous
there
email.
You go.
I'm printing that and posting it on the wall.
That's tremendous.
15-1.
All right.
Did you notice he called you a dog's ass?
Okay, we got a...
He just ignores that fact.
We got a Russell. Russell Early Doucette. Enjoy your work. I like your honest viewpoints and how you guys bust each other's chops. You have a great synergy together. Now, 2 games into the season, I'm not going to flip any panic button. First question, who got to drive Brandon Gorn to the airport, and did they pay the toll? I don't understand why you guys are so down on Corey Dillon.
I'm not.
I am. I understand the excitement for Maroney, but Dillon's no bum. Why so much animosity towards him? I don't think it's animosity. It's like I said when I was on here some other day. When you give Dillon the ball, you get 4 yards. And I just feel when you give Maroney the ball, you get 12. That's how I view it. Now, late in the game, like in that final drive against the Jets, I like to see Dillon in there because you're bleeding the clock. He's running over people. You're keeping him fresh. So I think he has a good role for the team. I just feel that as the year goes on, Maroney's going to get more touches.
Well, I do too, but that's not saying anything bad about Corey Dillon.
No, but people take that as you are saying something bad. That's what I've been saying.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I think Dillon's looked pretty good through the first couple of games. I haven't noticed one time I saw him turn his back, but he doesn't look like the guy that at the beginning of last year looked like he was done.
Well,
he looks a little bit better.
You know, there's a noticeable difference between him and Maroney.
Yeah,
he
but
just
that aside,
he just doesn't hit the line.
That's not
that,
a fair comparison.
It isn't.
To me, Corey Dillon this September to Corey Dillon last September, this September's is better.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what it is. Maybe it is the fire lit under his butt because of Maroney.
I think it's that. I think it's health. And I also think the offensive line. He's not getting – how many times last year did he get touched behind the line? A lot. Now, Corey Dillon in his prime would break those. But defensive opponents were getting penetration and he was getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. That's not happening a lot this year.
It could be. I think it's a lot of factors, but he's looked a lot, to me, significantly better than he did at this
time
a year ago.
He absolutely is.
And I'm not even taking into account after he says he got hurt. I'm talking about from the get-go.
No, he looks much better.
He looks
no
better.
No question about it.
And I think Bill Belichick would absolutely love it if this little scenario that's playing now can play out for the bulk of the season.
Although, we should mention that Justin in Alaska has already predicted the week Dillon will be out, so I guess we'll have to plan without him.
Really?
Yeah, Justin said he's going to get hurt, so hopefully he'll get hurt soon.
Yeah, it's
that way he'll be back
he
when the weather's
like the 4 week window, and he was a little Fred Kirsch like predicting injuries.
Okay, Mike Morietti, a paisano. Did you guys hear Branch's agent on NFL radio? He basically called the Patriots unethical in their dealings with players, et cetera, et cetera, and that there is no way the Pats will go after the fine money because they would get countersued and lose. Please discuss. Fred?
Fred, did you hear it? You have Sirius.
You know about getting countersued and all that kind of stuff.
I didn't hear that, no.
Well, what do you think? You think they won't go after the money?
Well, that's a common practice when you're being suit or whatever to file a countersuit
right.
complicates the issue and maybe gives the first party second thoughts about doing it. You know, so I'm not surprised. I mean, they've basically at every corner have tried to do something. You know,
Who's they?
The branch camp. You know, so I'm not surprised.
Now, do you think the Patriots will go after and get the money?
You know, who knows with all these this NFL stuff? It never ever. It seems like it never turns out the way you thought that the rules were written. I think they'll go after it, and I think they should get it, but. Who knows?
Because I read something that said there is a precedent here. There's a case where there was a similar scenario, and the ruling went down is you should have collected it before you traded him. Once you traded him, it was...
I read that as well. The team should have collected it while the player was still
a player. Player, right.
Yeah,
What he brings up, the agent coming back with the unethical nature of their negotiations in telling the player to fire his agent.
Well, you know, that's another story. And, you know, one of the things that...
Is there a specific rule that says you can't tell him to fire his agent?
I don't think that ethically you should. I mean, it's like... It would be like if you were, you know, on one side of a legal case and you told the person you're suing or whatever to fire his lawyer. That's unethical. If one lawyer told...
It is?
Yeah. But... Here's
Keep
the thing.
That in mind.
Here's the thing. This is, and I don't know this at all, but I mean, it came out that a player of high stature on the team was the one who told him to do that. Now, if that's the case, there's nothing unethical about that because a player can tell a player anything.
What if the player was told to tell?
Well,
the
that's another thing, you know. And I don't know if that's the case either.
What if the player was a player that some on this show, maybe me, have insinuated in the past, is a puppet for the management?
Yeah, I think that you're terribly underestimating the character of that player.
The player.
Yeah. But I can see where, if that's the case, if the player did tell Deion Branch to fire his agent, and after what happened, and now knowing that, you know, they're saying that the Patriots dealt unethically, I can see where that might have been the draining thing on the player. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of the players being thrown around.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That might have been the issue that was draining on the player.
That's a tough one because...
Not the fact that Deion Branch left, but the fact that he was in the middle of something that might have caused the team a problem.
Even beyond that, I mean, you've signed on. You're going to be here for a while if you're the player. And the management comes and asks you to do something, and are you trying to be a good leader?
Let's get this straight. I'm not saying that the team asked him to do it.
I'm just saying hypothetically.
Even if he did it on his own. You know?
I don't know if he would do it on his own.
Why not?
Why would he do it on his own?
You're good friends with the guy. You know, you're being told that the agent isn't doing a good job for him. You call him up because he says he's been talked to him a lot. Deion, get rid of that
Who
guy.
Who tells you he's not doing a good job?
Maybe
management
somebody
or...
in management told him. You know, he goes to manager and says, what's going on with Deion? We got to get him back here. We got to get him back here. Somebody, whether it's Scott Pioli or Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft, somebody says, you know, we'd love to have him back, too, but his agent's a real jerk. We've made an offer. He hasn't counteroffered. They're being real stubborn. So he just gets on the phone and says, hey, man, what they're telling me about this guy, you got to get rid of him. And then Deion Branch maybe sets him straight. I don't know. That's plausible.
But to me, all of this is, how do you prove it all?
You don't. And that's why a tampering charge has never been enforced. You know, a lot of teams have... accused other teams of tampering. I don't know, and I don't remember of any time that a team has actually been it's in the penalties in excess of $1 million for tampering and loss of a draft pick. So it's a pretty strict fine penalty for tampering. I don't recall anybody ever being being found guilty of it.
See, I kind of side with the Patriots personally on the bonus money and the.
Absolutely.
I think they should be able to get that money back.
Why?
You were my employee.
The
fine happened back when, so you owe me that money. It has nothing to do with I traded you. You owe me for when you were still working
here. All that is part of the collective bargaining agreement, and if the league doesn't uphold that, then it's not worth the paper it's written on. I mean, that's...
Which, by the way, it's not really written on a paper yet because they're still making it up as they go along.
Right, but they're still acting under, you know, the old one. And that was in there.
Tom
too.
Has no interest in this.
No, I was going to say, to be honest, I stopped listening to this inane babble about 10 minutes ago. So let's move on. Deion Branch
it's
isn't
so cranky
here.
Over there.
Deion Branch isn't here. I'm like Belichick. Let's talk about the players on the roster.
Oh, we're talking about Tom Brady.
So you won't be shaking. Okay. We were. I thought we were just talking about the player.
Well, Stan has sent in his second negative email. Good Lord, The best thing we can focus on is a handshake. Who cares? Now, Fred, you weren't here earlier, so you can smooth this over the next time you host. I told Stan I don't care if he listens to us anymore. But I will respond to Stan by saying go to patsfans.com, go to the message board, and see how many replies have been put on about that handshake. So don't tell me who cares, we don't care, because 150 people have responded to that one subject. So people do care. Like I said,
well,
it's not a big deal.
I don't think that we should not talk about it because obviously people do care, but I'm with Stan. Who cares?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think all those Patriots
fans
that are right
to say that people don't care, that's just ignoring the fact that people do care, obviously.
Stan was mad. We're being negative.
How many columnists in New York focused their column on that one subject? It's ridiculous.
Right, and I should say more people in New York cared than I think in New England because of the way they thought that Mangini was being treated by Belichick.
Right.
And, you know, big deal. They're big boys. They'll both move on. Stan said that we don't say anything positive. He said, why don't you talk about the defensive line and Lawrence Maroney like we've never said.
I believe it was either right before or right after I said dominant, going to destroy the Broncos front and make them one-dimensional.
And I was calling for Maroney to be in the Hall of Fame yesterday until John Rook told me he stunk.
I think Stan has a listening problem.
Yes. Oh, that's okay. Maybe he's just trying to get under your skin the way you try to get everyone under.
I don't try to get under people's skin.
Well, you do it anyway.
Yeah, I know we don't want to talk about the handshake anymore, but is it interesting that the media that was ripping to shreds Eric Mangini for the kind of defended him came to his side there?
It's low-hanging fruit. They just wanted it's an easy column to write. You know, it's always an easy column when you're ripping somebody and you can come up with all the little jokes.
And I think
everything.
They're the most entertaining columns.
Plus, it's Belichick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they haven't had really a chance to rip Belichick because he doesn't lose to the Jets.
Right.
So they're looking for that inside slant they can get. You know, Mangini's there now. They don't like it. The funny thing is what I love is the New York media hates Mangini, and then they turned it around like, oh, poor Eric Mangini.
Exactly.
And they hated him
saying.
In the first place.
That's why it's just silly. You know, I started off the show by saying that it's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, let's
start the show with him, Bill. We trust.
Vince from Pennsylvania. Hey guys, sorry for the short email yesterday, but I was in a hurry to get it out. I forgot to mention I've been listening to the show since May, and I've been listening ever since. You guys do an awesome job, and I love the ranting. So to my question, do you guys think the secondary can improve from last year in interceptions, where I believe they were last in the NFL last season? I think we would be a lot better football team if we could force more turnovers.
I agree, but I'm not sold on the secondary right now. We talked about it up in the office earlier today. Rodney Harrison has been a non-factor essentially the first two games. I personally think that might be by design to some degree, that he's not quite ready to be the aggressive playmaking, so it's a little bit schematic there. Hobbs had, you know, a good game the first week. Okay, I guess the second week they had the breakdowns with the tackles. Eugene Wilson has been a total disappointment for going on a year now. Last year we gave him the excuse that he wasn't ready to be the man when Harrison went down. Maybe they lost the leadership, the communication, whatever it was. Maybe we overrated Eugene Wilson.
You'll see in 2 weeks how good they are when they play the Bengals. Because they'll probably have a good game against the passing attack this week against the Broncos.
Probably.
But against Bengals, we'll see how good they are. And then we'll be able to make a quarter poll judgment on the season.
But I think there's some reason for concern there. They haven't played overly well.
Okay. Well.
All right. Well, and on that comment, we have David Meany comparing us to Ron Borges. Bill trusted Eric Mangini to stay with the team for a few years. He never would have given him the job if he thought he would leave. Never mind going to the Jets. Then Mangini takes a run at Deion Branch and makes Bill look foolish. Bill has every right to stump Eric Mangini. You and Ron Borges are always looking to bring Bill down. We as fans don't always agree on everything the Pats Brain Trust does. But we base our comments on history. So, yes, they get the benefit of the doubt in most cases until they start getting it wrong.
David, hear, 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 hear.
What is that something?
Like
is this something?
Second the motion.
Is this something Andy had to do with earlier on the show comparing us to Borges?
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
I'm nothing like Borges.
He's just cynical and negative. And
no,
you know.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I said Bill Belichick's a great coach. His team is 2-0. I mean, what else can you look for?
I agree. You're nothing like him. You told me he zipped by in a Lamborghini or something.
That's true. And I was in my center that went
over
a buck 20.
Lamborghini? 20.
No, he was in a fancy Mercedes.
Oh.
Okay.
Boxing has done well for him, huh?
Yep.
Oh, when Don King sends you a paycheck every
month. Oh! We got
Sorry, Ron, if you're listening.
We got a John from Grand Junction, Colorado. Guys, I am checking in late, so forgive me if you've already talked about this. How do you think the replacement of Kubiak with Heimerdinger has affected the Denver offense? I see this year Shanahan is calling the plays on the sideline, whereas Kubiak used to have that duty. What offense is it, Heimerdinger's or Shanahan's? Seems Bill Belichick has always had Dinger's number. I think Plummer is having a lot of trouble with the coaching change. Pats 34-17. That's actually a pretty good point because Heimerdinger's offense worked well in Tennessee when he had McNair, who had a strong arm, because Heimerdinger likes to go down the field a lot, and it was really effective. Then he went to New York to replace that idiot Hackett and had Chad Pennington, and it didn't quite work there because his arm isn't as strong. And that might be a pretty good point because Jake Plummer, he's more of a guy who throws on the run, rollouts, but I would have to think that it's still Shanahan's offense. Right?
I've always thought it was Shanahan's offense, so I kind of looked at their offense like the defense here. No matter who you run through in base, it's going to be Belichick's defense, Shanahan's offense. But, you know, maybe there are some slight changes that are adversely affecting Plummer.
No, they haven't been putting up the points, that's for sure. So,
word.
Okay, we got Greg Bunce from South Carolina. Thankfully, one of the biggest problems with Culpepper is his tiny little hands.
Craig.
No starting quarterback has fumbled more. If it's not hot or raining, the ball slips out of his hand. His difficulty in holding on to the ball has also led to some of those what-was-he-thinking throws, also known as Drew Bledsoe throws.
Hey.
The Finns D has always given Brady fits, but I am not all afraid of their offense. We will sweep them this year and go undefeated in the AFC East. This weekend, I see the Pats winning 24-10. I hope the ticked-off Steelers play a very physical game against the Bengals this weekend. The Pats beating the Bengals the following week will be crucial to our postseason positioning. The Bengals, Colts, and Jags will prove to be our main competition in the race for home field advantage. The Steelers will only be contenders if they can develop a strong running game. What do you guys think Maroney's chances are of winning Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year.
Decent.
It's possible, yeah.
As much as I do like Reggie Bush and defend him a lot, the one thing I will say is even if he doesn't have a phenomenal rookie year, his name puts him in position to win it, you know, if he does anything whatsoever. So you're behind the eight ball there. But I think it's going to go down to those two probably, unless Deshaun Foster gets hurt, which could very well happen, and D'Angelo Williams gets a shot in Carolina. I think he brings up a good point about the Steelers and the Bengals because we were talking about this upstairs. You know, we feel playing at home with a high-powered offense, the Bengals have an advantage over the Patriots. But the one thing in the Patriots' favor is that the Steelers, whether you beat them 70-0 or it's a close game, they beat you up. Physically, they beat you up. So the Patriots are going to come in the week after the Steelers to kind of soften the Bengals up for them. And the one way to beat the Bengals, as the Steelers proved last year in their first meeting, is to run the ball right at them. And that's the one thing the Patriots are doing very well right now. And while their defensive backs may not be able to stop Chad Johnson and T.J. Houshmandzadeh and those guys, the running game can by keeping them off the field.
Houshmandzadeh, is he hurt?
He's supposed to play this week for the first time.
Okay.
Championship.
I think it's definitely a case of the Patriots' offense versus their defense. You know, it's going to be a high-scoring game, you know, because I think both teams have holes in their defense. And, you know, I think right now you'd have to say that the Bengals' offense is a little bit more high-powered or a little bit more proven to be high-powered than the Patriots. So I think that's going to be, you know, whosoever defense plays better, that'll win that game.
Did you say a little?
Yeah.
A lot.
Well. Okay, well, John Rook chiming in.
Hey, rookie.
I don't remember telling you, Tom, that Lawrence Maroney stunk. I believe I said, let's not make him a Hall of Famer just yet. Come on, get it straight if you're going to hammer me. I'll be sure to reciprocate.
John, you got to understand, in this show, if you say one thing, it gets taken to the, you know, Andy will take it, you know, to the extreme.
I didn't say one word there. It was Tom Casale.
Because now I'm on record, according to Andy, of saying that Tom Brady will never play again.
Yeah.
That's
what you do.
That's what Andy does.
Well, I can't help it. I mean, Rook's got Maroney being average, and he's got a freshman quarterback for Texas being the next John Elway, you know? I just tell it like it is. All right, we got Brian Carroll with Power Rankings, the so-called Dr. Z, who, in my opinion, is a joke.
Well, he picked Miami to win the Super Bowl.
Like I said, a joke, from SI.com, is an idiot. And that's this guy saying that, not me. In his latest power rankings, he has Jacksonville ranked number one, and other teams such as the New York Giants and Minnesota Vikings ranked ahead of the Pats at number 12. Do you know of these rankings, and if you do, do you agree? The top 12 rankings are below. Okay, so
a little early to start getting on that rant. I mean, that's a normal thing on this show is people complaining about the power rankings.
Will say number 12 a little bit. I mean, they're a middle of the pack team.
Well,
I think you got to look at
who the Patriots have beaten so far.
Nobody.
Beaten two teams that people didn't expect to do anything. I think the Bills are going to do a little better than people
expected.
Okay,
so now would you agree that San Diego beat two teams that aren't expected to do anything? Well, there's seven. So, see, that's why these – first of all, Cincinnati's five.
But
they were more decisive. They should be one.
San Diego was more decisive in their beating of teams that are –
he's got Jacksonville one. Now you can put them one now if you want because they won't stay there. Baltimore two, Indy three, Atlanta four, Cincy five, Chicago six. Those are his top six. He's got Pittsburgh at nine ahead of the Patriots.
I agree with Fred. It's too early.
No, I mean
Pittsburgh beat the Dolphins, who can't get out of their own way. And
also, how you finish last year goes into a factor. I have no complaints yet.
What is a power ranking?
I think that those rankings stink.
Is a power ranking specifically on 2 weeks, or is it?
There's no
order you think they are.
It also how they started
overall.
Yeah,
but I mean, are you trying to say that
a power ranking is more like a college football ranking than anything else? That's all it is. Strength of schedule, strength of opponent, strength of win, where you started the season.
But it's only on the 2 weeks. It's not what you think is going to be.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It's just so far.
Okay.
So far.
Yep. Okay. Gary Hatch coming in with a, why do you guys think Bill Belichick's system works so good in the NFL and Saban's looks so bad? Wasn't Saban taught by Bill coaching, player evaluation, game planning, et cetera?
Because Bill's
Saban
smarter.
Win the final six games of his rookie season as a head coach?
I think what you're looking at is that...
It's a second-year sophomore slump.
Well, not only that, don't I remember Bill Belichick being in Cleveland? How'd he do there?
Right. Not too good.
All right, well, let's
A year and two games here?
Yeah, let's not start Saban bashing because he took over a team that Dave Wannstedt ran into the ground. They're still living off the players Jimmy Johnson drafted. All those great players they got were all drafted by Jimmy Johnson. So Saban has to come in, put his stamp on the team. Now, I will say this. He's making a huge mistake by starting the season with Dante Culpepper, who is obvious to anybody with a set of eyes, is not ready to play the season. You can say all you want about how he's not that good, and that may be true, but physically, he is not ready to be out on that football field, and for Saban to stick with him is a bad idea. And the one thing the Titans do, as bad as they are, as bad as the Titans are, the one thing Jeff Fisher will do is he'll blitz you. And if Culpepper can't move, don't be surprised if they start out the season 0-3.
Hey, is it true that, who is it, San Diego looking at Billy Volek? Or
they
got
him.
Traded for him.
Now, why is that?
Just a backup,
veteran
I think.
Back. They only had a.
That's a. I'm sure they had a. They're going to have
a rookie backup. What?
Cleo Lemon? Is it Cleo Lemon was the backup? Oh, no, it's Whitehurst.
Whitehurst.
But how's Phillip Rivers doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah. So.
They're not asking him to win games. They're just kind of.
So they brought in Volek. Volek's making pretty good money.
I would assume so.
Yeah. That's.
He's a veteran backup. We rip this team for not having a veteran.
Well, they had to give up something for him, too.
Sixth round pick.
That's all?
Yeah.
I thought that, you know.
Are we going to now jump on the why didn't the Patriots trade?
I thought he was a pretty highly regarded quarterback.
Well, a couple years ago, teams were offering second round picks.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Well, stock has fallen a little.
So what happened is something happened with him in Tennessee. They don't want him around. They wanted him out. The Chargers saw, you know, like we say, people are always looking to bring in good players. They saw a quality backup quarterback they could bring in to make their team better. And I think that's a good move for them. You know, if Rivers goes down, they now have a guy who has starting NFL experience with a lot of weapons around him.
Okay.
You know, and I'll tell you, I know they haven't played the best competition in the world, but whew, that's Sean Merriman. He's something, isn't he?
Already heard.
It's all over the place.
Was it ESPN saying the Chargers have four of the best players in the league at
their positions? Right.
Merriman, Tomlinson, Gates,
Jamal Williams. That's pretty good. Yeah. Now, despite what Sports Illustrated, I'll tell you, he's not the best player in the NFL. We all know that's Tom Brady.
Right.
But Merriman is definitely becoming one of the top defensive players.
Sports Illustrated listed Merriman as the best player in the league?
The best player in the NFL. This was a while ago, so.
Wow. What's his nickname? Lights Out?
Lights Out.
He's one of those guys. I love reading the stories, and I wish I knew if they were true, and they talk about
coaches had to stop practicing them because they were killing too many players and all that crap. I always want to know how much of that's really true or how much of it is revisionist legend history.
When he hits you, he turns the lights out. Nice move by the Cowboys drafting DeMarcus Ware ahead of him. Okay, Patrick Hallisty.
Put on your arm.
Are the Broncos still using their cheap blocking techniques? And if they are, how do you think this will affect the Patriots' D-line this week? Fred?
Well, I think they are still incorporating those techniques.
Cut blocking.
Yeah.
Not chop blocking.
The Alex
Cut blocking.
The Alex Gibb of technique of, you know, what they do is they have a zone blocking technique, and everyone starts in one direction. And then the running back, you know, does what they call running downfield. He gets a pretty good head start, gets a good lay of the land, and he can cut back into any one of those lanes that he sees open. So, yeah, they still are.
The idea is you get the defensive lineman running, pursuing with the offensive lineman, and then all of a sudden the offensive lineman just dives at their legs and takes them out of the play,
right?
Creating a lane for the running
back
to run.
So, you know, it's something that...
It's not cheap. It's part of the game. It's called cut blocking.
The problem is it's not... The technique itself is not cheap. Cut blocking is not cheap. But when you make a mistake cut blocking, it turns into a chop block. And most of the time it's unintentional, but it can cause injury. You know, so you have to pull off the cut block the correct way, or else you're behind the player and now you're cut blocking him.
Okay. Well, now we have a man that can get things done here, Fred, so I'll read this email. Please push the red jerseys as an alternative. I am still sick that the Pats are now silver, blue, etc., instead of red, white, and blue, like they should be. Never mind that the silver looks so USFL. Thank you, Mike.
I don't like the silver myself.
No, nobody does. It's amazing. No one likes them, yet they're there. Why?
I don't know.
I think they're locked into it for a certain...
Well, the red jersey is the Patriots' throwback jersey. Teams, besides their throwback, are allowed one other alternate jersey. So you got the red throwback, you got your blue, you got your white. I guess silver was the only other color they could do.
Well, I've heard rumblings that they may look to have their alternate jersey be red.
I think that's a good way to go. Have you seen the red Patriots jersey with the new logo? Not the throwback, but it looks pretty neat.
Well, yeah, that's what they're talking
about.
Something they can wear with their current helmet
exactly.
And a red jersey on some special occasions.
It looks nice.
Certainly looks better than the silver.
Yeah.
Okay, we have one more. We just got an email in. We didn't have any.
You got to pace the show. That's part of being the host, you know, to pace it.
We have 3 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Good job, then.
This is from Andy.
Huh?
Andy Geyers in Sioux City,
Iowa. I was like,
I got
why'd
call.
You look at me?
I got a call on the IA. I thought
Indiana?
It was Idaho for a second. Guys, who cares about the handshake after the game? This is football. It's the Jets. I don't think Bill spends a lot of time on the handshakes most of the time. It didn't look to me like Eric tried real hard either. Who cares? I will agree with both of those statements. The Pats are 2-0 in the division, and it seems to me, record-wise, it kind of goes out the window in the division anyway. So a win is always good. I think we will know a lot more after the next 2 weeks. P.S. Is it just me, or does watching Adam in a Colts uniform make you sick to your stomach? Fred.
No, it doesn't make me sick to his stomach. He went with the money. He got what he wanted. And
Fred's been cheering every time he gets hurt.
I've already forgotten about him. He's out of sight, out of mind.
I believe he's 7-for-7 on the year. Is that what I saw?
No, I don't care. But he won't be playing this week because he has a
groin. So far, the Patriots kicker is what?
His second injury already.
1-for-2 with a kick block that could have put the game away.
His second injury this year,
interesting.
By the way.
Interesting.
By the way. You know that, right? Pulled his groin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's look at his numbers.
All right.
Let's look.
Oh, he's not going to have any.
7-for-7 on field goals, 6-for-6 on PAT.
He's not going to have any numbers this
interesting.
Week.
Interesting. Let's go to the New England Patriots and let's look for, does that not count
Andy
as a miss?
Borges.
He's not going to have any numbers this week.
Does that not count as a miss when you get it blocked?
Okay.
2-for-3 on
so
field
now
goals.
Now Andy's going to try to make the argument that Adam Vinatieri is better than Steven Guskowski. Well, that's a fair argument. Okay.
So you're conceding I win.
Let's keep going.
All right.
For that $100,000 you didn't want to pay him.
Gary Hatch wants to talk about the West. You guys were just talking about the Chargers, which got me thinking. Every time the Patriots play the Western Division, we get beat pretty good. Look at last year. Chargers at home. Ouch. Chiefs, we look like we were beaten before the game, and Denver seems to always have our number.
We beat the Raiders.
Everybody beats the Raiders. I think, well, I think one of the problems last year were two of those games were on the road, and the Patriots had a lot of trouble beating good teams on the road last year. The San Diego game was kind of that first game that creeped in where, uh-oh, you know, like, these guys can't play, meaning Chad Brown, Monty Beisel, and Dwayne Starks, none of whom are with the team anymore.
Right. Or with any team.
Right. So that was that first, what do we got here game. The Patriots made adjustments. They got Bruschi back. They got better as the season went on. And, you know, quite honestly, they cost themselves the game probably in Denver, a game that they were leading 3-0 right before the half, and then the fumbles started. And next thing you know, it's 10-3, and then the
interception. Up until you know, close to the end of the season, I don't think the Patriots were playing well at all, and they had trouble beating any good team, not just the Chargers. I mean, West Coast teams, they were having trouble against good teams. They didn't turn that around until late in the season. You can make the case that Jacksonville isn't that good either.
And the West had some pretty decent teams last year.
Yeah, they did.
You know, better than the East, so you know your division opponents, you should win those games, and all of a sudden that division was
a pretty good
division.
The Patriots had serious problems with their defense last year that they kind of hid toward the end of the season. They're playing better as a team, but, you know, they had some serious problems on defense. Most particularly, you know, Richard Seymour missed a lot of time, and also the linebacking with Beisel and Brown, that was a bust.
Especially against teams that can beat you in a few different ways. A team like the Chargers have Tomlinson, who can run and catch. Gates, who's a great tight end.
Yeah.
Same thing with Kansas City. You had Larry Johnson. Tony Gonzalez, a big part of the
balanced play. Offense hurt them.
That's why the Bengals are circled.
Exactly. That's why this is a good test. We'll know a lot about this defense in week 4.
Okay, well, where's John Rook?
I don't know.
Apparently he's mailing.
John's doing it from home today.
Gary just swallowed his dip.
John's doing it from home today.
All right.
That was
I thought he had something for
dip.
Me. He's got nothing for me.
What has he got?
Too scared to even show up.
What is it?
Forget it.
What is he doing? What is he putting in his mouth?
Butt naked with a porcupine, then go through that again.
You went with dip.
What else is it? What is it?
Can lead Fred to water, but he can't make him drink.
Is it chew? Dip? Whatever.
No, chewing what I'm talking tobacco. About. What do I make fun of Gary for?
I don't know. Anything.
Forget it. Wrap up this show.
All right, let's end this.
See, yesterday
show.
He said he'd never say a bad thing about me for that day.
Yeah, except for that. It's a different day.
Well, Stan.
Still give you wings.
Stan, there's good news, bad news. The good news is I won't be here tomorrow until 1 o'clock. The bad news is Andy Hart will be here for a full 2 hours.
I'm here again?
With diarrhea of the mouth, the paint drying, Paul Perillo.
Is this my show?
Tom Casale, Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart. We'll all see you tomorrow when we make our stupid picks.